But for now, we're focusing on Ballinora GA Club, who this month celebrates the centenary anniversary of the club's founding in April 1924. Michael O'Connor is the club president, and he's been involved with the club since the late 50s.
It is really, because if you take Ballinora, it's like a little tree planted. So it's very humble beginnings, and the tree grew and grew and grew, and while £20 in old money would cover everything back in the 20s and 30s and well into the, after the first, Second World War, whereas now I think it takes about 60 or 70,000 euros to run the club. And the facilities now, compared to the innocent facilities, if you like, we had back even in my own day, and I was starting playing in the 50s, and, you know, before the 50s, it was even more primitive. All the club had was the loan of a pitch over in Ballymore, which is inside the present one that's there now. And the farmer would just leave you built away, like there was no dressing rooms and no showers or no nothing. You tugged off by the fence. But more importantly, though, go back to the early days. And my granddad and my father and my uncles, they all said the same thing. The contribution that the GAA made in Ballinora to healing the wounds of the Civil War is not to be underestimated. I've been told stories where those on the same team would be on their bicycles, they'd arrive in Coachford or Ballincollig or Aroge or Enniscarra, not talking, talk off by the ditch, go out and they'd play their hearts out and they'd pass the ball to each other. Fellas that wouldn't talk to each other. Fellas that were on the opposite side politically. And when the game was over, they put on their clothes, got on their bicycles, and they wouldn't talk to each other Monday morning. And my uncle, in particular, he used to say that was most amazing. And that went on right into the 30s. You know, after the Civil War was all over, I mean, the Civil War mentally wasn't over when the guns stopped. So that was fantastic, I think, at the very, very beginning.
And I know, Michael, that your granddad would have told you a lot about the formation of the club in at the very, very start, 100 years ago.
Oh, he would. He was the guy that kind of put me into the picture, really, insofar as that it was utterly humble. The old school, not the school that's there now presently, there was an old school, it was a school that I went to and Pat went to as well. It was like a big box, and there was two teachers. So you went upstairs for your first communion, then you came downstairs for your confirmation and out the door. And it was very primitive. And outside that school, there was a group of men, young men, my grandfather being one of them. And there was Sonny Sisk, I think, was involved, and relations of yours, Dinny Manny and them. Tis they supported, if you like, Jimmy Long, in my view. Now, I'd be of the view he would have been a kind of a highly motivated man, being the principal of the school and all the rest of it, you know. And he registered him, and it meant Ballinora had to prove a point in, because they were supplying Ballincollig, and they made a point by winning the county in 1932. And they were beaten in the final. They were runners-up in the intermediate final again in 39. But as my uncle said, by then, the team was, they were gone old, like, you know, the young men of, well, from 24 to 39 is 15 years. So if you were 22, you'd be 37, you know what I mean? Now, they were gone old. And then there was a very bad period during the war. And in the 50s, it was the lack of numbers, really. And
I know, Michael, you would have played with him in the 50s and the 60s. Without little or no success, that must have been a massive challenge.
It was a massive challenge. And those days, we used to say to each other, feel the team. The focus literally wasn't on victory at all. We won a Junior B championship in 1962. And I go to my grave saying, had that not taken place, I'd say the club could well have folded. You would think we beat Granagh in Coachford, and you would think we won in all Ireland. I was only a young fella at the time on the team, and my mother was scared of her life, saying, you're only 17 years of age and you're playing Junior B and they're double your age, in the name of God, you know, what's going to happen? But anyway, we got through it and we won, but it saved the club, because it kind of created a feeling, well, we can win. And from there on, then it kind of picked up. Now, I'd like to say the Crave Row, Pat there, wasn't involved, and there were six other fellas in the club associated with Crave Row. And they were young, and they won Mid Cork in 73 and 74. And, well, they created a kind of a nucleus of victory when they played the best and beat the best. When you're young, like, there's every possibility that will follow on, which it did. And in the late 70s and 80s, he'd have been central in the issues associated with the victories in 82. And then we went on to football.
And Michael, the fact that Ballinora became a parish in its own right in 1986, that I'm sure had a huge impact on the club as well.
It did, really. It kind of meant that we were now fully united as a club, and we had one school that was the nucleus of it. So therefore, it was a central issue that Ballinora were finally on their own, and it was, you know, play to win. And a kind of catchphrase we have is a kind of a manipulation of the famous Nelson Mandela's comment, we never lose, we either win or learn. Now, Nelson Mandela was the guy that came out of Robben Island, and he said, I never lose, I either win or learn. So we've kind of readapted that a little bit to say, we, Ballinora, never lose, we either win or learn. And I like it.
Hurling has really, I suppose, been to the forefront in recent years. Like, you've been very, very dominant in mid-Cork. Now, I know the football people in the club will say, well, we're doing our bit as well. But, like, certainly in terms of mid-Cork junior hurling championships, you've kind of owned the championship there over the last three seasons.
That's true. Thankfully, we have come from literally nowhere to within, I'd say, to the question of when the county junior championship will be won, rather than how we're going to win it. We're within reach. That sucker punch of Nemo Rangers is taken very seriously around the parish. And I have an awful feeling this year will be a lovely year to win it, actually. The year of the centenary. If it comes to pass, it will be wonderful. But I'm convinced it will happen shortly.
But football obviously is on a high as well, particularly after the under-21 success.
That's true. Football was never really in Ballinora at the very early stages, but with all the extra increase in population from people in various counties and whatever, and they introduced football. And while football was, it was a strange kind of a game for us at the very beginning. I never played football, even though it was in the club. I think I played one game. It wasn't seen as the right thing to do. But people from other counties came in and they were able to have a background in football, and it developed from there, really, up along under 13s, 14s, and eventually they won a junior county in 1997. And playing into me, they were playing Premier Intermediate for quite a number of years, but I feel they decided to go down because, for whatever reason, I'm not too sure. And I'm not even too sure it was a wise thing to do, because if you go down, you look down, kind of thing.
Finally, Michael, to you, you must be a really proud man to be the club president in the centenary year.
Absolutely. To be honest about it, I thank God I made it when I think of my grandfather who was there and the father. And to be the president in the centenary year, or as they say, I'll die a happy man. I'm absolutely delighted with myself, very proud indeed, and privileged to be able to be there and to be part of it. I'm absolutely privileged.
Focus on Ballinora GA Club, who are based in the Muskerry GA Division in geography terms, are just 10 minutes from Bishopstown, and who this month celebrate the centenary of the club's founding in 1924. Kilkenny native Mick O'Regan is the club chairman.
It is. It's as Michael O'Connor was saying earlier, it's a big year for the club. We'd be hoping for success on the field. But more importantly, I think, is that we cement our relationship within the community. It's a community-focused club. We have great relationships with all of the other bodies, including the Camogie and the LGFA and the school that you can see across there. And what we want to try and do is make sure that we're totally inclusive, and to use the year as a springboard to make sure that we remain as an inclusive organisation.
And Mick, you mentioned the school and the fact that there's only one school in the parish. That's almost a jewel in the crown.
It is. It's very important to us, and the growth in the school. I mean, there's 260 kids, I think, in the school now, thereabouts, which is a huge number of children. And we have a great relationship with the current principal and the previous principals. We've been running coaching programs with the school and in the school for the last 10 years or more, and it's been very successful. And these continue, and that success has been demonstrated in the school's participation and success in Skeena Skull, which has been a big competition for them, boys and girls, over the last number of years.
Yeah, in a way, Mick, you've taken the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that there must be a huge amount of work being done at underage when you see the number of lads from the club that are making it onto Cork teams.
Indeed, there has, and that's not happening today or yesterday. That's been going for a number of years. I mean, we have players representing Cork at many levels. Ladies Gaelic football, camogie, hurling, and football. We have representation at many, many levels, which is a great credit to all of the coaching that has gone on over the years. Just as a kind of an aside on that, we ran a child welfare program here a couple of weeks ago, and we had 70 people attended that. And these are 70 people who are moving into coaching or management roles within the club and with people. So, you know, it's great to see such numbers getting involved with the juvenile.
A big asset to the club, I know, is the fact that the second pitch and the second facility in Ballymore is now up and running.
Yeah, it's been up and running now for a couple of years, and it's drawing great praise from all of the teams that have participated in there. We've hosted a number of games for Muskerry and for the county board at adult and underage level, and all of the teams have been full of praise for the condition of the pitch, which is down to the maintenance work. We have a maintenance program in both of our pitches, but it's easier to maintain a pitch once it's up to a higher standard. So a lot of time and effort has gone into Ballymore, and it's a great facility, and we now need to focus on Ballinora and get the ground up to the same standard so that we can have two pitches of high quality.
And I know a lot of money was spent in Ballymore as well, but you're debt-free.
We are debt-free and have been for a number of years. Our former chairman made a point that that was his mantra, that we are debt-free and we should remain debt-free. We've been very lucky and very, well, it's done to good work by people as well, not just luck, but we've availed of a lot of grants from Munster Council, from Sports Capital Programme, from the County Council, the City Council, and we've had fantastic support from within the community. The money that had been collected within the community to support what we're doing, it's phenomenal, it's phenomenal.
As a hurling man from North Kilkenny, is it a bit frustrating that you haven't landed a county junior hurling title? You've been kind of knocking, very dominant in Muskerry in recent years, but just struggling, I suppose, to get over the line at county board level.
Yeah, I mean, last year, as Michael was saying earlier, it was very unfortunate the way things worked out against Nemo, but fair play to Nemo. They played the final whistle, and again in the county final, they played the final whistle and they got their reward. But from our own perspective, being successful in Muskerry is not enough for us. Last year was the first year that we had won a game outside of Muskerry in a championship. The first year. So, you know, that in itself, we broke a barrier there, and hopefully we'll continue to break that barrier. And as Michael was saying, with the younger players coming through, we would hope that we will push on and win a county title and compete at a higher level in the county then.
Obviously, Mick, it would be hugely important, I suppose, for morale within the club that a county cup would come.
Well, it would be, and you know, experience over many, many years would tell you that, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. So, you know, normally what we find is that you don't get one team doing well and one team doing badly. And Eustacetown, you know, are a perfect example of this, that, you know, if things are going well in one code, then the other code lifts its game and they go up together. So we would hope that we would get a county title. The Muskerry Under-21A title in the football this year was a great success for us. It's the first A title that we've won at Under-21 level. So we'll be looking forward now to the concluding stages of that later in the year when it moves into the county section.
Because sometimes maybe people outside of Ballinora maybe ask the question, is it a hurling club or a football club?
Oh, it's very much both. It's very much both. And there's, you know, like most dual clubs, we would have an awful lot of dual code players. And that's a natural choice for people. Cork traditionally would be famous for its dual sportsmen. hurling and football. Jimmy Barry Murphy here recently, prime example of that. But we are a GAA club and we support all GAA activities.
What do you hope finally will be the sort of legacy of Centenary Year?
Well, I hope the legacy of Centenary Year will be greater inclusiveness, greater participation, greater volunteerism. I mean, every GAA club relies on its volunteers. And it's very easy for parents, for example, to get involved when their kids are younger. But there's so much more work goes on in the GAA club that you need people to commit longer term to GAA. So the volunteerism is a huge thing within the club. So I would hope that it will boost volunteerism and boost participation.
Right now, it's back to our focus on Ballinora GAA Club, who this month celebrate the centenary of the club's founding in 1924. And next Saturday, the 20th of April, the club will hold a special day of celebrations. Pat Lane is chairman of the Ballinora GAA Club Centenary Committee, and he also spoke during the week to Michael Scanlon.
It is a very special year, and I was honoured by the existing chairman, Mick O'Regan, to ask me to chair the Centenary Committee for 100-year anniversary. I suppose also, from a family point of view, my granduncle, Denny O'Mahony, I believe was one of the founder members of the club, was part of the 1928-29 Mick Cork winning team, part of the intermediate team that won the 1932 intermediate county title. My cousin, Vincey Manny, played in the 62 team with Michael O'Connor, club president. I was part of the 1982 team that won Mick Cork for the first time in 53 years. And then my brother joined me on the team in 1996, where we won another Mick Cork title. So the year it is, we need also to remember the founders, remember people who kept the club going. For me as a young lad coming along, made sure we had pitches, hurleys, slitters, footballs, pitches were cut. So those men kept the club going with very, very limited success in the 40s and the 50s. So as well as honouring the club itself today, we can't forget the past. We should honour the past, respect the past and people in it, so that we are stronger by that, knowing that the club went through very weak times in those years. We must now hope with the foundation we've laid over the years to ensure we'll go from strength to strength, even better than what we are at this point in time.
And I suppose, Pat, like, that's hugely important, because obviously everyone around the locality walks into the facility in Ballymore and the facility here in Ballinora, and they see what's there now and they think 'twas there always. And they have no idea that 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, it was completely different.
That is correct. And as Michael O'Connor, a club president, stated today when we spoke to the school children, you know, that it's a different time. And walking into any of our facilities in Ballyma and Ballinora, it's all for the community owned by the GAA, but everyone is welcome. And it's a great source of comfort to see the facilities we have that are being used daily for walking by people in the parish and so on and so forth. And we, as members of the GAA now, honouring our 100 years, need to bring forward to people that Ballinora now is in a changed area completely to what it was 100 years ago.
A very, very special day on Saturday next, April the 20th, a day of celebrations.
It is a day of celebrations, and the keynote on that particular day is the raising of our centenary flag. We launched the flag a couple of weeks ago by the great Jimmy Barry Murphy, and that will be hoisted in our facility in Ballymore by club president Michael O'Connor, club chairman Mick O'Regan, as a symbol that Ballinora are strong and we've survived 100 years. It's a symbol of who we are, what we are, and what we're about in connection with the GAA, part of the GAA family, but also ingrained in the community of Ballinora. And we hope to have a fantastic day to honour the past, but also to understand we have very strong foundations to build for the future.
The club colours, red and green, explain.
Going back, to the time the club was formed. Prior to that, a lot of the good hurlers in Ballinor would have played at Ballincollig. Very brave men around 1924 decided to go out on their own. So they decided we'll go better in Ballincollig. Instead of having white, we'll have green and red. Red to signify red blood. We are the best. We are fired up for the matches. We are going to be the best. And I think over the last 100 years, we have shown we can survive hardship, disappointment, setbacks to where we are today. And hopefully the next 100 years, the green and red will be even better than what is today.
Pat, I know apart from Saturday, April the 20th, and what's on offer that day with the official anniversary day, there are other things planned for the summer ahead as well.
There are indeed, and we hope to have an adult hurling match, hopefully against Castle Martyr, who I believe are also 100 years old, a great hurling club. We hope to set up matches in hurling football just to show that both clubs are still alive, still going strong, promoting our national games. We also intend to hold an underage competition, the Donaghy Cup, may rename it this year as the Donaghy Centenary Cup for all our underage players. And also then hopefully towards the end of the year to hold a celebratory dinner to reflect on the past, to understand where we are and to build for the future.
This place is almost a hidden gem, like it's 10 minutes from Bishopstown. Maybe a lot of people have never been here before. Invite them.
Yes, that's a good idea, and we hope to do so, to invite all our neighbouring parishes. As you know, we have Bishopstown, we have Ballincollig, we have St Finbarr's, we have Ballinhassig, we have Airoge. So we are squeezed into a very small area. But the people we are, the determination we have, honouring the past where we came from, I think in the years ahead we'll be as good as those clubs, if not better, in both codes in the years ahead.